The Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 18th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. In the wake of significant protests by Jewish people supporting Palestinian rights this week, thousands are set to assemble on Capitol Hill today.
At a recent demonstration in Brooklyn, New York, the group Jewish Voice for Peace Action reported over 50 arrests, including that of an 81-year-old peace advocate. The group, including Michiganders and activists from across the nation, is in Washington, D.C. today. Rachel Evans with JVP says their view is that it's time for the U.S. to stop sending weapons.
Choose ceasefire, not genocide. As Jews, we say never again for anyone. The Israeli government is dehumanizing Palestinians, calling them animals, and our government is repeating misinformation.
Pro-Israel rallies are also being planned around the country. A Marist poll found 63% of the Americans in its survey said that they strongly support Israel, but there are generational and racial divides. Michigan boasts one of the largest Palestinian-American populations in the nation. Evans shared her experience during a demonstration at Michigan University and said schools statewide are calling for action. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
Meantime, President Biden's trip to Jordan has been canceled following the deadly hospital attack in Gaza, the White House said Tuesday, when the president was leaving to head to Israel. That from the Hill. According to a senior White House official, after consulting with King Abdullah II of Jordan, and in light of the days of mourning announced by President Abbas, President Biden will postpone his travel to Jordan and the planned meeting with these two leaders, as well as the president of Egypt. Meantime, fire scientists are combining traditional methods with artificial intelligence to fight fires in states like Montana and across the Southwest.
Fire science experts have used natural fire breaks, roads, bridges, and land masses as ways to slow fires for a long time. Now they're adding AI to the mix. With spatial analytical data and satellite imagery, fire managers use potential operational delineations, or PODs, to draw lines on a map that allow them to predict fire behavior now and in the future. Kit O'Connor with the U.S. Forest Service says PODs are like geographical containers, but not always just for fighting a fire while it's burning.
But it's to give you that bite-sized unit that you need so that you can start to think about the values that you're managing across the landscape and manage them kind of bite by bite instead of trying to take on everything all at once.
O'Connor says while creating these pods, fire managers also draw on the knowledge of local landowners. I'm Mark Moran.
O'Connor says this type of planning is safer for firefighters in the urban-wildland interface and also with people who live there. This is Public News Service. It's been going on for a while, a looming threat of federal government shutdown and chaos in Congress. They pushed the farm bill negotiations to the side. Ohio food banks say the uncertainty around the federal funding is compounding the struggles to meet demand.
The deadline to reauthorize the nation's largest food and agriculture legislative package was last month. Jessica Samanchko with the Greater Cleveland Food Bank says in the past year, her organization served nearly 350,000 Northeast Ohioans across six counties, a significant increase from 2021. She says in order to operate at high volume, food banks need reliable funding.
We can't afford to let the cost of uncertainty of the threat of another shutdown and the lack of a bipartisan agreement to fund critical programs and services of the federal government to be borne by vulnerable Americans.
Rising fuel costs and higher food prices are further straining food banks' ability to meet demand. According to the Ohio Association of Food Banks, over a three-month period in 2022, the state's pantries served more than 2 million people. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
And a recent report finds that black people make up the majority of a state prison population. That state is Connecticut.
The Prison Policy Initiative brief finds black people comprise 43% of the incarcerated population, three times higher than the national average, yet they only make up 10% of the state's general population. Between 2017 and 2022, the state reduced its prison population, though it has seen recent increases. Wanda Bertram with the Prison Policy Initiative says decisions at a local level dictate what's leading to mass incarceration.
It has a lot to do with how policing works and how courts work, and also, in a big way, how social services work.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Finally, Ross Brown lets us know the long-awaited Wisconsin Wolf Management Plan is up for adoption next week.
The updated draft management plan includes rules to govern any future recreational wolf killing seasons. In late 2022, the DNR released a draft plan that wolf advocates were ready to accept. But since then, Kim Hollis with the group Friends of the Wisconsin Wolves and Wildlife says another revised plan has surfaced.
We kind of got the rug pulled out from under us because at the last minute, the plan was changed. It's not at all similar to the original draft plan.
2 years ago, Wisconsin hunters killed 218 wolves in a week, far exceeding the state's limit of 119. That resulted in a lawsuit against the DNR by animal welfare groups. I'm Roz Brown.
A bill has been introduced in the Wisconsin legislature to force the DNR to include a hard cap on the state's wolf population. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.